my sermon tonight ended up not being what it started out to be. Sometimes when I'm preparing and praying and studying, I start out with a theme in my heart and my mind, and as I study and read the Bible and pray about what God wants me to say, He leads me in a different direction. And that's exactly what happened tonight. You can tell from the verses that we read, my original intent was to encourage all of us to be a help to children. And what I mean by be a help, I mean be a help to point them to Jesus, be a help to point them to God, be a help to point them to the Bible, be a help to point them to the church, and never, ever be an offense to them. Never, ever do anything that would drive them away from Jesus. Never do anything that would drive them away from God or drive them away from this book or drive them away for the church. These verses here, and Jesus was talking as he was instructing his disciples and others that were listening, was if you're going to offend a child, and again, offending a child is to drive them away from the things of God. He said it would be better if you take a millstone, a great big stone that they use to grind their grain or break up the husk on their grain so that they could get the seed out of it, the wheat or whatever it was. Great big stone. He said it'd be better if you take one of those great big stones, tied it around your neck, and jumped into the deepest part of the sea and just drowned. He said it would be better to do that than to drive one child away from God. And then as I was studying, the Lord brought the thought to my heart and to my mind that in God's sight, we're all children. In God's sight, all of us are little ones in His kingdom. And so when that verse says, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, you'd be better off dead. And so let's not offend each other. Let's not do anything. And this is where I want to go, sort of where I want to go tonight. But you see, even after this change, he led me in another direction. So this was a two-detour sermon until I finally got to where he wanted me to be. So it'd be better that we not offend any other brother or sister in Christ. And God is saying, again, it'd be better that you just died as opposed to driving somebody away from me, driving them away from the Bible, driving them away from church. And so we need to live our life so that we don't do that to other people. And most of us do. Most of us live by this book, those verses that say, for example, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. Little verse we teach the juniors about being kind one to another. And it applies to every one of us as adults. That we need to be kind one to another. We need to be tenderhearted. We need to be forgiving. Now, there's another verse in the Bible that says, as much as in you, live peaceably with all men. Give it all you got to live at peace with other people. There are passages of Scripture that deals with eating meat offered to idols. And it says it's all right to eat meat offered to idols unless it offends a brother. And if it offends a brother, don't do it, not because it's wrong, but because it offends that other person. And again, God is teaching us not to be an offense to anybody, not to drive anybody away from God. And so the thought come to my mind that he does not want us to be a stumbling block to anybody. He doesn't want us to be a pothole in the road or something that somebody else might trip on. And then I got to thinking, I think at the Holy Spirit's direction, that the stumbler has some responsibilities as well. We should not be a stumbling block to anybody, but the stumbler needs to do some things so as not to stumble over those stumbling blocks that will come. And so tonight, I want to speak to all the Christians that are here, that are trying to live for God, that might encounter stumbling blocks in their Christian walk, and give you six things that we can do so as when we encounter those stumbling blocks, we don't stumble, we don't fall. We're not offended. All right, so you can see I started out this way, and then I went this way, and now I'm going this way, and I think it's all at what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. So here's the six things. Number one Expect stumbling blocks. Expect them. Your best protection as to how not to be offended, how not to fall, how not to leave the things of God is to know there are going to be situations and there are going to be things and there are going to be people that Satan will let come into your life that if you're not on the lookout for them, they will be stumbling blocks and you might trip over them and fall. You see, Satan wants to mess with us. He's lost us for eternity, but he doesn't give up on us after we're saved. He knows we're going to heaven. He knows that he's not going to get us to go to hell. But what he'd like to do is destroy our testimony so that we're useless to God and don't bring anybody else into the kingdom of God. And so he brings into our life people and things and situations that if we're not on the lookout, we will stumble. So here's what happens. We're walking along in our Christian life, and sometimes we have a load. Sometimes we're carrying a load. Other times we're not carrying anything at all. And we're just walking along and, you know, not paying attention to what's around us. And then there's something in our path that because we're not paying attention and we're not on the lookout for it, is there and we don't see it. And we stumble. We trip. We fall. And the best defense for a stumbling block that Satan puts in our way is to be on the lookout for him. A prudent man, it says in the book of Proverbs, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are perished. And what Solomon is saying to us is be prudent. Be on the lookout and know there are going to be things that might trip us up. And again, our best defense is to know that they're going to be there and to keep our eye out for them and foresee the evil that could come and avoid them. Now, it's like this. I don't know how long ago it was, but they made cigarette manufacturers put on the package, and I haven't looked at one for a long time, and I think it says something like this: this product may cause cancer. Does anybody know what it says? You better not know what it says, buddy. Oh, I thought I could trip somebody, but nobody fell for it. And so I don't know what it says. This product may cause cancer. Now, the prudent man would read that and say, well, if this product causes cancer, I'm not going to get close to it. I mean, I'm not going to buy any. I'm not going to smoke any. I'm not going to be around people that do. I don't want anything to do with cancer. And so it gives me a warning, and I'm going to avoid it and not get close to it. But the simple man, as this verse says, the simple pass on and are perished. The simple would avoid the warning and say, well, it doesn't mean me. It means somebody else. It won't get me. The warning is universal. The warning is to everybody. And I know you could all give me an example. Well, my grandma was 85 years old and she smoked and chewed her whole life. Well, she could have lived to be 120. How do you know if she hadn't smoked and chewed? My grandma chewed, and I probably shouldn't say this, but man, she was pretty good. I can remember as a little kid, she'd be sitting across the room from the spittoon and hit it every time. You didn't know I had such a rich heritage, did you? She was from Kentucky. But anyhow, but here's what God says. Just know that these things are going to be there and be on the lookout for them. Because if you see them, you're more apt to avoid them as if they just sneak up on you and cause you to stumble. Number two, walk in the light. Walk in the light. If we walk in the light, we'll be more apt to see the stumbling blocks that Satan puts in our way. And if we walk in the light, we'll be more apt to avoid it. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If we stay in this book, and if we read this book, and if we study this book, and if we memorize this book, and we let the light that's in this book shine, we will protect ourselves from stumbling blocks. We will protect ourselves from those situations, those people, and those things that might get us to fall. Now, let me give you an example. And the Bible is just full of instructions to us that if we just read it and understand it's God's word and say, hey, this is true because it's in the Bible, it's true. If I apply it to my life, it'll help me. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace, I've claimed this verse over and over and over again. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Those of you that have been around for a while know that it's hard. I got to be careful. It's hard to offend me. Now, there's been times, that, and I'm going to get to this point in a minute, where I just have to bite my tongue and clench my lips and not say something. I want to. The old man inside of me, Terry, not the old man, the old man that was there before I got saved. The old man inside of me wants to say something. It wants to retaliate. It wants to give my opinion on something that's going on. And I want to get offended. I want to say things that I shouldn't say. And this verse, it keeps coming back to my mind. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing, nothing, nothing shall offend them. And so I say to myself, I slap myself and say, look, if you really love the Bible, that's a promise that God has made. Nothing shall offend you. And I preach to myself, I talk to myself. If you're about ready to get offended, you're not spending enough time in the Bible. If you're ready to get hurt, if you're ready to get discouraged, if you're ready to to let up a little bit because this thing's happened, then you need to be in the Bible more. You need to read the Bible more. You need to study the Bible more. You need to memorize it more, because God says, if I love His word and I stay, and when I love His word, I stay in it and I read it and I memorize it and I study it and I tell you, Brian and Teresa came up to see the baby the other night, and Teresa was in with Chantel, and Brian and I were sitting there talking and about something that about Judah and his children and the lineage of Christ. And I learned something. I mean, every time I read that chapter in the book of Genesis about Judah and his daughter-in-law, I always ask myself, why is this in the Bible? Why would God take a whole chapter and put it in the Bible about Judah and his daughter-in-law tricking him, dressed up like a harlot? Why would God put this in the Bible? And as we were talking about it, I mean, it was just like a light bulb went off in my head. And I said, that is so fantastic. So fantastic how God preserved the lineage of Christ from the family of Judah in the firstborn son. I said, wow, this is really neat. I mean, and I've read that chapter over, and if you want to stay afterwards for a few minutes, not part of my sermon, I can't take the time to tell you what I'm talking about, but if you want to stay after, just meet me up here in the front row, and I'll take 5 minutes and just show you how neat it was. But you know, I've read that chapter over and over. I've questioned, why would God put that chapter in the Bible? And then as I understood why it's there, I said, man, this is good. This is neat. How God is in this book just teaches us. And again, you know, you've heard that saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Yes, you can. Because this old dog learned something new. I mean, this old dog learned something that he didn't understand. Wondered why God had it in the Bible, and it was so amazing to see the truth in it. I mean, I left the hospital, and I was just saying, man, God, that's good. That is really good. And as we study this book, and as we bathe ourselves in this book, and as we just get into it more and more and more, the promises of this book are true, and it'll keep us on the straight and narrow way. And as this verse says, nothing shall offend us. Nothing. So just stay in the book, read the book, study the book. Say, preacher, I wish you'd get on another theme, not on your life. Not on your life. When I quit preaching to you about staying in the Bible, you ought to kick me out and hire somebody else. We need to stay in this book. This book is the Word of God. It is everything that we need. We're not going to start preaching from another book. I'm not going to give you current events. I'm not going to give you book reports. I'm going to keep you in this book because this book is God's word. And it has for us what we need. And if we walk in the light that it sheds on our path, we will avoid the stumbling blocks. Number three, people are human. This is a deep thought. People are human. 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Here's my point. People are human. Don't put your eyes on men. They're like grass. They wither. Man's glory, any glory that man has, will fade. Keep your eye on God. Keep your eye on the Word of God. It will last forever. Forever and ever and ever. All men fail. All men fall. All men stumble. And if we keep our eyes on man, when they fail, when they fall, when they stumble, we're likely to fall, fail, and stumble ourselves. The best of men are still men at best. Let me say it again. I thought this was a real nifty saying. This is one of those one-liners that you can write down. The best of men are men at best. They are human beings. They will fail. Don't put them on a pedestal and worship them. Worship God. In Judges chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says this, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." Now you know when you magnify something, it makes it look bigger. And so God told Joshua, the new leader of Israel, "I'm going to magnify you. In the people's eyes, because you're the leader, I'm going to make you look bigger." And you know what he did? I mean, he split the Jordan River, and as Joshua as the commander, and they walked over the Jordan River on dry ground. They came to the city of Jericho, and Joshua, after talking to the captain of the Lord, gave him the battle plan. I mean, again, we talked about this morning. If you were an army man, you would think, man, this battle plan is dumb. It ain't going to work. But Joshua got the people to follow the plan, and they marched around the city, and the walls fell. And he was magnified in the sight of the people. And that's what God wants for his leaders. He magnifies them so that people will love them, people will follow them, people will pray for them, people will support them. But remember, even though a thing is magnified, even though it is made to look bigger, it's still no bigger than anybody else. Even though Joshua was magnified in the sight of the people, Joshua was still a man. He was still a human being. He made mistakes. We studied in our Sunday school lesson a couple weeks ago when the men of Gibeon came and they had on their old clothes and their water bottles had patches on them and they had moldy bread. Joshua did not go to God and say, "Should we make peace with these people?" They looked at their clothes and they looked at their water bottles and they looked at their bread and they said, "Man, they must have come a long way. We can make peace with them." And a few days later, they found out they lived right in the midst of where God wanted his people to live. And Joshua made a mistake. He was magnified by God in the sight of man, but he was still a man. And if we put our eyes on men, they will fail at times. They will fall because they're human beings. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul says, "Follow me because I'm following Jesus." But he said, "Don't put your eyes on me. Put your eyes on the one that I'm following. Put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never fail. He will never fall. He will never stumble." Man will, but thank God he doesn't. Thank God Jesus never stumbled. He never fell. And he's the one we ought to keep our eyes on. Number four, differentiate between people and God. Differentiate between people and God. And here's what I mean by this. So-and-so hurt me, so I'm going to quit. So-and-so in the church said something unkind, or so-and-so in the church did something that offended me, and so I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit God. I'm going to quit reading the Bible. I'm going to quit going to church. And when I hear people say that, I want to ask the question, did so-and-so save you? Did so-and-so give you the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you every single day? Did so-and-so give you the strength to carry on from day to day? Are you serving so-and-so? And the answer to all those questions is no. So-and-so didn't save them. So-and-so didn't give them the Holy Spirit. So-and-so didn't give them the strength. So-and-so, they're not serving so-and-so. And they want to ask the question, did God ever let you down? Did God ever offend you? Did God ever do something to disappoint you? And of course, the answer is no. It's funny to me. Some person offend us, and we want to quit God. God didn't offend us. It was one of these stumbling blocks. And we put our eyes on people, and they fail. And because people fail and fall and stumble, we get mad at God and say, God, I'm quitting. That's pretty dumb, isn't it? I think it is. It's pretty dumb. Differentiate between people and God. It's so dumb to let another person interfere with your service for God. It's so dumb to let another person stop you from serving God. It's so dumb to let somebody get between you and your Savior and what He's called you to do and what He's prepared you to do and what He's made you to do. It's dumb. Dumb. Look, you were made by God. You were created by God. God saved you, and He called you to a work. And you're in the middle of that work. And yeah, there's going to be stumbling blocks. Why? Because Satan wants you to quit. Come on, wake up. He's the one that wants us to quit. He's the one that wants us to get discouraged. He's the one that wants us to stumble. Not God. God prepared you to do what you're doing. And don't let another person get in the way of what God's called you to do. Number five, guard your heart. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Don't get bitter. Don't get cynical. Don't get suspicious of everybody and everything. Don't get judgmental. How many times have you heard? How many times have I heard somebody say, man, if that is Christianity, I don't want any part of it. I've heard it hundreds of times. Oh, if that's what being a Christian is all about, that bitterness and that and being cynical and being unforgiving, if that's what it's all about, I don't want any part of it. I don't blame them. That's a poor representation for what Christ wants us to be. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Let Jesus mold your heart. Become more like Him. That's why He's left us here, so we can become more like Him and represent Him in this world. And then number six, don't quit. Don't quit. Just decide that you're going to go home and you're going to get your dictionary out and you're going to go to the letter Q and you're going to find the word quit and you're going to cut it out of the dictionary. Cut it out, wrap it up, make it a little spitball, and spit it. Boy, this is good preaching, isn't it? Again, just find that word quit, make a little ball, make it wet, and spit it at the devil. You ain't going to get me. I'm not going to quit. I'm just going to decide right now, regardless of what happens, I am not going to quit. I'm going to keep doing what God has called me to do. I don't care if somebody hurts me. I don't care if somebody offends me. I don't care if I'm discouraged. I don't care if I'm tired. I've made the decision up front that I'm not going to quit on God. He did not quit on us. He didn't quit on us. It would have been easy for Jesus to call those 10,000 angels and set them free and avoid all the suffering on the cross. But he went to the cross and he took our place and he died for our sins and he paid the price so that we could be made right with God. And if you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, he did not quit on you. He paid the price for your sin. He suffered your hell for you. And he offers to you the free gift of salvation. You see, Satan wants you to go to hell, but God wants you to go to heaven. He's not willing that any should perish. No one, but it all should come to repentance. That all should have eternal life. And I've told you this before. You know what? I got saved because I understood God loved me. I got saved because I understood that Jesus loved me enough that he was willing to take all of my personal sins, me as an individual, he was willing to take all of my sins and pay the price that I owed so that I wouldn't have to pay it. And I got saved because I understood that love. And if you're here tonight and you just even a little bit understand what God has done for you, there's no way you could hold back. No way. You'd come running down this aisle in just a moment and say, "Preacher, I can't resist that kind of love. I can't. He loved me." But you know, as I've matured as a Christian, I've come to a second conclusion. I think I'd get saved just to spit in the devil's face. If I didn't understand how much God loved me, if I didn't understand what the price that he would pay, I'd just get saved to tell old Satan, "You ain't getting me, old snooty face. You ain't getting me. I ain't going to hell. I know that's where you want me to go, but you ain't getting me. God loves me, and God loves you. Don't let Satan get you. He did not pay one thing for your soul." Do you realize that? If you go to hell, Satan did not pay one thing for your soul. He's getting you for nothing. Jesus paid the price, and he wants you. He wants you in heaven, and you can go to heaven if you ask him. Now, to all of us that are saved, don't quit. Don't quit. I'll go back to what I talked about this morning. There are men, and there are women, and there are boys, and there are girls that were in a battle for their souls. And we're battling Satan. And I don't know about you, but I don't want him to win. I don't want him to win one soul that comes under our influence. I want every little baby that goes through that nursery to hear that Jesus loves them. I want every little junior that sits back there in junior church to hear that Jesus loved and died for him. I want every teenager and every adult that sits in this auditorium to hear week after week after week after week that Jesus loves them. And we're in a battle. Satan wants them for hell. God wants them for heaven. And he's using us to make the difference. And we're not going to quit. Just go home, cut it out of your dictionary. We're not going to quit. Don't quit. Yeah, are we going to get hurt? Yeah, you'll get hurt. I'll guarantee. If you haven't been hurt, you will be hurt. Is somebody going to do something that will offend you? Yes, they will. Maybe they'll do it intentionally. Maybe they'll do it not knowing that they did it, but they will do it. Are you going to get discouraged? Yes, you will. Are you going to get tired? Yes, you will. Are you going to want to quit? Yes, you will. But don't. 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 You just remember what Jesus did for you. And you remember that I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. And you remember greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And keep on going. Keep on going. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what it teaches us and how it encourages us. And I pray as a sharp two-edged sword that you go into our hearts, into our lives, and you cut out those things that would cause us to stumble, that would cause us to fall, that would cause us to want to quit. And Father, you would do in our hearts tonight what you know needs to be done. I pray for those that might be here that don't know Jesus. Father, help them just to get a glimpse, just a glimpse of the love that drew salvation's plan, of the grace that brought it down to man, and help them come tonight and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.